Good morning, folks. This is Glenn Cook on WRMJ Sportsline. Don't change your dial. It's not Jim Taylor. In fact, is I have Mr. Taylor here in the studio this morning, and we're going
to
turn.
Well, first up, I'd like to say Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
Thank you,
Coach.
Same to you.
No, you know, I was thinking today, and I know we're going to let you ask a lot of questions. I was thinking about this job. A couple people have asked me, you know, what's the most enjoyable thing that you've ever done, and I try to think.
You're taking away my questions.
No, but because I'm going to ask you about this. I was thinking about this when I was thinking about you. And people ask me, and I was Ryan Winkler is one of my good friends in this business who coaches at Erie. Good young coach.
Well,
he's not so young anymore.
I love Ryan.
40. By the way, he asked me the other day. He's like, "You think when I turn 50, I can play on your 15 over softball team?" I'm like, "Heck yes!"
Yeah.
But anyway, the most enjoyable time for me, I remember when Ty was a senior, and my daughter was a freshman, and they both played varsity basketball for Mercer County, and they're playing at the Erie Warkins Cardinal Classic, and my whole family was there, my in-laws, my mom and dad, my brother-in-law is a referee, and his wife and their kids, and then all the family surrounded by sports. And I thought about it this year, one of the good times I know you've had when you reflect on one's life. When I thought about the Rock Ridge softball press box this year, and you have your wife who's keeping the book.
No, that's my daughter.
Excuse me. Yeah, your daughter keeping the book, excuse me, and a sweetheart, by the way.
Yeah, thank you.
Your daughter, your granddaughter playing, right?
Yeah.
And then your son-in-law's up in the booth with you, and you're the PA.
Yeah. Yeah, that was
so
special.
What about that?
And it was fun.
I mean, a lot of
laughs,
a lot of fun,
things
of that nature.
Yeah. I went with John too over to their playoff game the day they lost to Morrison, and I really enjoyed that. But it's really different. It's hard to sit there and not to favor. And she went out in a blaze of glory. She had four home runs in her last couple games. But it was hard. It was really enjoyable though. The whole year was really enjoyable. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Take it away.
Anyway, folks.
Now, John Oshite's in the studio here, too, because he's the owner-operator of the station and handles the FCC license.
And
so
he's
I forewarn you.
And he's standing right behind me.
I've got my hand on the butt.
Do you have a mic? No, you don't have a mic.
No.
I mean, so how am I supposed to ask you questions?
I can grab yours.
Okay. Anyway.
I can set up trees in the park.
Okay, he's got to set up trees up at the Alito Park, and that's a nice thing that he's doing for the town. Anyway, I've never interviewed anyone, so I've got to interview you two jokers.
You wrote a book of War and Peace there by the handwritten questions.
I know, but I didn't want to run out of.
Okay.
Where are you both from, really? What's your hometown?
Go ahead, you start, John.
I'm from Henry, Illinois. I'm a Mallard. Over by Peoria, northeast of Peoria on Route 29.
On the banks of the Illinois River.
On the banks of the Illinois River. Our town slogan is, best town in Illinois by a dam site. Because there used to be a dam there at the marina. There you go.
So that's out by, the school starts with an M. Rockridge played them in the playoffs. Bigger school. Used to play Geneseo. Metamora. Isn't it?
Yeah, it's across the river from Metamora. It's be on the north side of the river. As a matter of fact, we played the regional championship game there my senior year. Basketball. I stepped to the line with 1 second left, down by two.
Uh-oh.
Missed the first one, tried to miss the second one, went straight up in the air and fell through the basket. We lost by one.
Thanks
for bringing up Metamora. I really appreciate it. I'm still scarred by that.
So that was in one class then, apparently?
That was the first year of two class basketball. And I curse Chuck Rolinski to this day because that was supposed to be our team that year. We were 20-5. Oh. Two of our losses were to Toluca. One was on our home floor. We won the conference title because somebody else beat them. But the Rinker brothers moved to town the senior year for Toluca. 6'6", 6'8", 6'6", and 6'3". And they went from going to have a mediocre team that year to beating us in the regional championship game. So I always remind, well, Chuck unfortunately has passed, but I always would give him grief about that. It's a big joke in our area about how the Rangers came to Toluca.
Happened to find a job there. Son of a gun.
All right.
Where are you
from? I'm from the great town of Hampton, Illinois.
You're from
On
Hampton.
The banks of the Mississippi River.
My wife teaches school
there,
that's you know.
I call it the Harvard of the Midwest.
Yes. Well, it is a neat school.
And it's still the same school building I went to, by the way. Blocks from the Mississippi River. My parents still live in the same house I was born and raised in.
Awesome. Yeah. And so you went to Alleman then?
I went to Alleman High School.
So they came out and recruited you then?
Yeah,
that's
right. I always joke about that. Yeah, they recruited me to play at Alleman. My brother went to UT. I went to Alleman. I went to K-8, though, through Hampton Elementary.
I hope Coach Jolie's listening to this.
Anyway, he will be one way or the other.
Yeah.
I was getting a debate about him. See, he gets mad at me. He's like, when we talk about, like, private and public school stuff, he's like, well, you're an Alleman grad, and, you know, the pioneers, you know, you want that, you know, multiplier and that success factor. And I continue to argue with him. I'm like, Coach, that's not true. I said, I think Sterling Newman should play, you know, 1A, 2A, football, basketball, whatever, because they're in a 1A or 2A conference. Alleman's not. They want to play in the Western Big Six. Therefore, if you're going to play Western Big Six competition in the regular season, you need to play those type of schools in the postseason. That's my argument. So don't.
That's a very good argument.
I don't like to sit here and say when people say, "Well, you're against Catholic schools now." No, I'm not.
No, I mean.
I told the Alleman coach just yesterday. I had a coach, Kyle Murray, is a new young coach there. Well, not so young, but Alleman finally decided that they're going to play all of their Western Big Six home games at the Don Morris Gym. And I'm like, you're 50 years too late. I mean, that's you should have played those home games against Rocky and
all these years,
UT and Moline. But they're worried about people complaining about not being able to get in. So that's the way. That's home. It's called home court advantage for a reason.
Right. They used to back in the 50s when the school opened. The school opened, I think, in 48 or 49, and they used to play there all the time.
It's. I'm glad to see they're coming back to play those home games there.
Okay, so where did you go to college?
I went my first 2 years at Blackhawk College in Moline, and then transferred in a graduate of Southern Illinois University at Edwardsville.
So, what about you, John?
I went to SIU Carbondale all 4 years. So, and we both studied communications. Right, I was. Radio, TV, I can't remember, Jim was...
Mass Comm,
yeah, at SIU Edwardsville.
Okay, so that's
speaking of SIU Edwardsville, I know you're a big baseball guy. I like to throw, like, little tidbits of information back at you. You know who graduated, what baseball broadcaster, former Cub baseball broadcaster graduated from SIU Edwardsville? Mr. Know-It-All Cub.
He was a Cub broadcaster.
Yes.
Jack Quinlan.
No. Later than that. No. Remember Dwayne Statz?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, he was an SIU Edwardsville graduate.
He was one of my favorites.
He's now the voice of the Tampa Bay Rays. But anyway.
Do you remember Jack Quinlan, either one of you?
Yes.
He was awesome. Anyway, okay, so you were interested in broadcasting, obviously, when you went into college, both of you, correct?
Right.
Yeah, kind of. I wasn't necessarily. I was kind of undecided. I was accounting major initially. But then I saw the campus radio station, kind of got involved there and said, I'm going to change my major to Mass Comm. That's an easier major than accounting.
And you, John, you went there with specifically to become a broadcaster.
So, and they had a good program back then. So, because I had a scholarship to go to Bradley, too, but I decided to go to SIU because they had a better communication school and a better baseball team at that time.
So, okay, so when, you know, I remember when the station, when you took, when did you come here? When did you take over the station?
Well, the station went on the air June 12th, 1979. So I started here in like May of 79. And I was in Monmouth for a few months from November to May at WRAM. So June 12th of 79. I did not start competing against you in the Tri-County League until the next summer of 1980.
Well, Todd Steger was pitching in the league at that time.
That's a private joke between me and Glenn and
and Todd.
And Todd, yeah.
So, okay, so but I remember my son Denny was in high school at that time, and I have an 8-track tape of the first game Rockridge played Abington. It was really a good game, and I have that 8-track tape. That
would be 8-track tape?
Yes. Isn't that such a thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have an 8-track tape. of them playing. It's real. I mean,
what year would it have been?
About 80, maybe the fall of 80. Maybe the fall of 79 or the fall of 80. Yeah, John was doing the game.
Yeah, man, we'd like to get a copy of that for our archive.
Hey, you can have it. I just need to find it. But I do have it. Okay, so when did you two meet? When did you start here?
I started in 1990. I've been here ever since. So I remember the way I got in contact with the station is Roger Coleman was the founder and owner, right?
Yeah.
1979. And I interviewed for he was the owner operator of WGEN in Geneseo.
Yeah.
And I had interviewed for a job this before I graduated there, maybe like when I was home for the summer or something, and had my resume on file, and then apparently a job came open in August of 1990 or something, and I graduated in June of 1990, and then I got a call, I don't know if it's from him initially, then John, about, hey, there's a station in Aledo that has a position open, might be interested in applying, so I came out to Aledo and interviewed for the job. And I remember, and I know people in Aledo are going to get so mad at me when I say this, but I remember when they called, I'm like, where is Aledo at? I grew up in the Quad Cities. You know,
that's wow, you didn't know where Aledo was?
That's sometimes how, you know, we just aren't familiar with the geography.
Surrounding area, yeah.
And I came out, and I remember I interviewed for the job. I got it, and like 3 days later, I bought a car at what would have been Essig.
Ofig.
What? Morgan.
No, it was Essig Uftring.
I have a great story
And then I went down the street, and I remember my dad was with me and signed a lease with, what is their name? They're passed away now, Boyd and Dot Henry. And my address was 207, I'll never forget this, 207 and a half South College Avenue. Huh. It was a downtown, I love that apartment, man. It was the Vickery agency is there now, but Boyd and Dot Henry, and then down below, this is how long ago it was, Brunsvold and Jacobs used to have like a local office out here. So they were down underneath me when they came to town, and the ceilings were like 12 foot high, and then it just had a tiny window air conditioning. This is about life. Hey, this is about tough life in broadcasting. The sun, of course, all day would just shine on that brick building in the summer, and that upstairs apartment got so hot. But anyway, that's I digress. So that's.
Can I tell a story about it's Essig Uftring? Wasn't that the name of the place?
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Can I tell a story? It's about a really good friend of mine that had a speech problem. He stuttered. That's all I can
say. Fine.
Vince Kelly. You remember Vince Kelly, John?
Oh, yeah.
Well, poor Vince passed away, and I loved Vince. But
yeah, I played a lot of golf with Vince.
Yep. Anyway, I was showing houses. I was selling real estate then, and Greg, I can't think of his last name, was a part owner of Essig Uftring, or whatever the name of it was.
Yeah.
So I was late, and I'd never met him before. So I get over here late. I'm always running late, and I pick him up late, and he's a little upset. We just met, and he says, you're late. And he says, we wanted to get, and he said, he had his whole family with him. We were going to look houses in Aledo. And he said, well, we're late now. He says, and I wanted to get something to eat. And I said, we still got time. Go ahead. We'll get something to eat. So we went up here at the bowling alley. And we walked
town
in.
Town and country.
Yeah. And I had just met him 5 minutes before this, so he didn't know me from Adam. So I walk in the door, and that's Vince and his brother Ed. And Vince looked at me, and he knew the guy. And he says, Greg, is Glenn showing you houses? And Greg says, yeah. He says, well, one good thing about Glenn is he only lies when he has to.
What year was that?
Oh, I'm going to say about, I'm going to guess somewhere in early 90s, somewhere 90, 91.
I thought you were going
to. He only lies when he has to.
I thought you were going to break out and tell me the jacket joke. Remember that on Facebook, and you forgot the punchline. It was like a 15-minute joke.
I said, yeah, I get to the punchline. I added Ralph to the story, and Ralph's not in that story.
Forgot to take your bill that day.
Right.
All right, anyway, next question.
Okay, So were you? You weren't in broadcasting before you came here,
I worked just college radio basically, and I had an internship in St. Louis was my background.
John, were you?
After college, I played ball. It was an interesting thing. I decided I might want to teach too. So the 3 years I didn't play ball, I went back to school and got a teaching certificate. Took the classes I needed to take and got certified to teach. And I had applied for, my wife's from Aurora, and I had applied for the Aurora Central Catholic baseball and job and history.
Wow.
And was looking for a broadcast job. And the broadcast job came first. If I would have gotten the job to teach and coach at Aurora Central Catholic, who knows what would have happened. But and ended up not getting to interview for that position, and then ended up coming here. So, yep.
Awesome. And before we go any farther, so when did you meet Nikki and Joe? When did this happen?
I met...
I'll guarantee you, folks, there are two angels. And literally, you guys know, and they know better than anybody, how much time you guys spend away. Of course, that's probably a relief for them, but still.
I met... Actually, the anniversary of when I met my wife, I'm glad you brought that up, is coming up. I met her at a basketball game. She was home watching her brother play, Pat Lower, who's the head football coach at Fulton.
Mm-hmm.
And it December 3rd of 1993, and I remember Rich Ruggles, you know, Rusty Ruggles is the band director, and Rich is his brother, teaches in the Sherrard School District, and introduced me to Nikki at a basketball game December 3rd of 1993. Alita was playing Abingdon. I remember that. So
I'll be darned.
There you go.
I was back at Carbondale picking up those education hours. And my best friend was dating Joe's best friend, and he calls me up, and I'd had some people over to my place, and we were barbecuing and all this, and he says, hey, you need to go out with me tonight. And I go, well, I got some folks here. He goes, nah. He says, can't think of her name now, Julie. Julie won't go out with me tonight unless she has someone for a friend. I said, okay. So went out with Matt and Julie, and they went to this nightclub bar-type place in Carbondale and met Joe, so... There you go.
Well, they are two saints, I'm here to tell you. Anyway, were there announcers, or are there announcers that you try to emulate, or that are favorites of yours, or that you set your style after, or anything like that, or just your own style?
I think it's a little bit of, there's no question you have to have influences in this business, but, I think it's your own style. I mean, my parents grew up listening to Cardinal baseball, so that was kind of the soundtrack of my childhood.
So that Buck was Jack and Shannon, Buck or Harry?
It would have been Jack Buck.
Okay.
His heyday with Mike Shannon and Bob Starr and that group.
But, yeah. Okay. How about you, John?
Not really, but there was one guy I listened to quite a bit for basketball. I never did football. I lied to Roger Coleman that I could do football. And the first game, Alito Galva, I thought, I can handle this. Oh, man, I was lost. I was terrible on football for the longest time. But anyway, the guy who did the Bradley Brave games, now I'm drawing a blank on his name. Oh, Mort Canner. Mort Canner did the Bradley games, and I listened to Bradley all the time. Basketball.
Oh, basketball.
So my basketball part was a little bit of Mort Canner, and then I pretty much, my own style. I'm known for getting a little excited at times, especially in playoff games.
Well, and I think the one thing that I tell a lot of people about this, I've talked about this many times and with people in the media that I visit with, is you learn so much on the job. You know, I can't remember really what I learned. You shouldn't say this, with higher education, but I learned most of this craft on the job. And I think that the one thing about John that I learned from on the job is his like description of spotting where the ball is. I think that is so important, of where the ball is at on the field, where it's marked, what the formation is. It's the simplest thing. People think that broadcasting is so complicated. If you just get the simple things out, because it drives me nuts when I listen to it, especially a lot of high school games when a young kid is broadcasting or whatever, it's like, well, what's the formation, or where's the ball at, or what's the system they're running? It's just like ball snaps, somebody running so-and-so, the description of just get it simple. Where's the ball at? How many yards is the play? What down is it? Things of that nature. And you would be surprised when you listen. A lot of people take that for granted.
No, I don't. and this really sounds really phony and blowing, blowing smoke and everything, but you guys are so good. And my first announcer that I loved listening to was a guy named Burt Wilson for the Cubs back in the late 40s, early 50s. I loved him. And he would do that. When he would come on the air, he would tell all about the atmosphere, the sky, whether it was cloudy, rainy, or whatever, and what the teams were wearing, everything. And he described, he set a picture, he painted a picture of you, you know, or for you as a fan or as a listener. And of course, the games then were just on the radio. They weren't on TV.
And that's why announcing has become a lost art, so to speak, because people and broadcasters are so accustomed that the video, the image paints the picture, where the broadcaster has the crutch of not having to do that anymore.
Right.
Just one thing before I have to go put up the trees in the park. By the way, stop by next Friday night for holidays. But anyway, one of the greatest tips I ever got was from my college baseball coach, Itchy Jones. We were discussing things and about my education and stuff. And he said, John, he says, here's what you should do. He said, you should take a cassette recorder and go sit at the top of the SIU arena and broadcast every SIU game. But just do it into the cassette recorder and then have your professors critique it. He says, that'll get you better. And I took his advice, and that's what I did. So I went some games I wanted to be with the guys and be cheering and stuff, but other games that weren't as big a game, you know, not, let's say if we were playing Louisville, well, I wanted to be there, or Indiana State with Larry Bird, I wanted to be there cheering and stuff. But if we were playing Southeast Missouri State or something like that, I'd sit at the top of the arena and broadcast the game into a cassette recorder. So, and the other thing too with kids today as well is, there aren't as many opportunities, but it's funny because Jim and I are always looking for people to do sports, and sometimes we just maybe can't afford to pay them, but for the experience, especially with the internet now, I mean, we'd get the equipment for them, and that way, if we could find someone who would want to do it, we could do it in football. Basketball, there's just too many games, but we could probably have every Rockridge and every Sherrard and every Orient basketball game broadcast as well, if there was a college student or somebody who just wanted to do, you know, we'd pay for some of his travel and things like that. There just aren't enough advertisers and dollars to do the whole thing. But that's why it's nice to have Darren and Kyle and Jim expand this out so we can do all four of our local schools that way. But there's some, and his son Ty did it. He never showed an interest in stuff, and finally that summer, Jim goes, who's going to do high school football scoreboard this fall? Well, I'm going to call Augie and see if there's somebody out there. He says, how about Ty? Oh, he'd be interested in doing it? Yeah, okay, sure. Let's give him a shot. And his son's done a great job for us.
He's best great player job we ever had here.
Yeah, I mean, he's just, you know, and so when he, as I was kidding him the other day, when he graduates from Augie, he's going to have 2 degrees. He's going to have one in broadcasting and one in his major of business. And he can go either way or combine the two.
Yeah. All right. Well, we need to take a commercial break here, and we'll let you catch your breath, as we say.
And I'll be listening.
Yeah. And we'll come back as our WRMJ Sportsline host on this Saturday morning is Glenn Cook. We'll have more conversation in a moment.
Rebuilding a home can be expensive. Many homeowners don't realize that their insurance may not provide them with enough coverage to build the same home in the same location. Country Financial is just one of a few insurance companies that offer insurance that covers the replacement cost of your home, even if that amount is higher than the policy.